Well, good evening. My name is Melinda Papillo. I serve as a member of this community and as pastor, and it is good to be with you on this, the second Sunday of Easter. Two things you need for worship tonight. One is this Unfailing Light booklet, and the other thing is the Red Hymn Book. We will be singing one hymn out of the Red Hymn Book. And if you're not familiar with our Holden practices, as we enter into worship, there is a table just outside of our worship space that will have a little podium. Much like this, or a little, I don't know what you'd call that, but the booky thingy. And it will have whatever your worship aids that you need for that. So as you come in, that's a good thing to go to, and that will help you know. We will be skipping around in this booklet a little bit tonight, but this community loves so much of this music, and it's just kind of fun to use the fullness of this booklet. So I invite you to turn to page 18, as we will be starting with Appendix 1, which is an alternate gathering, right? You will see at the top of the page. So you know you're in the right place. And it's a Kyrie, which hopefully is part of a service. Kyrie means Lord have mercy. And it's just inviting God into this space to bless us in our time together. With that, many of you have traveled quite a distance to come here. Boats, buses, cars, and whatever else, planes. Why don't we just take a deep breath, kind of ground ourselves in this space, giving thanks for this community and God's bringing us together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, source of all goodness and life, who clothes us with Christ Jesus and makes us one body by the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, eleison, eleison. For peace in the church, the nations and renewal of creation, let us pray. The opening hymn, which is found on page 5, and I invite you, as you feel comfortable or moved, to please stand.
Thank you.
The love of the risen Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
A reading from the book of Acts. When the temple police had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this Jesus to be leader and savior at God's right hand, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, who has given to those who obey God." A reading from the book of Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the rulers of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a dominion, priests serving his God and Father, to Jesus Christ be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God.
Thanks be to God. Now I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable for the gospel acclamation found on page 7. This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So later the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus just came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. To doubt. Verb. To call into question the truth of something. To doubt. To be uncertain about. And in this case, uncertain about someone. To doubt. To lack confidence in. Even distrust a thing. To consider an event unlikely. To doubt. The thing that has become this poor man's title, doubt. How he has been known throughout history, right? Poor doubting Thomas. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've read the gospel, you know Peter does far worse things, right? I mean, he denies Jesus 3 times, and he's not called denying Peter. The guy was constantly challenging Jesus and putting his foot in his mouth, and we don't give him a bad rap. Sometimes I give Peter a hard time. But why is it that Thomas's name is forever merged with this qualifying doubting Thomas? I mean, how did he forever get pegged that way? I mean, I suppose part of the reason is we don't know a whole lot else about Thomas. He shows up in the gospel 3 times. The first time, we learn that he's actually courageous, because what has happened is Jesus has just escaped from the religious leaders' attempts to stone him to death, and still he insists on heading into harm's way once again to go raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. And it says in that part of the gospel that the disciples are afraid, but Thomas, courageous Thomas, stands up and he says, "Let us also go that we may die with Jesus." Pretty bold, if you ask me. And then in chapter 14, we know that Thomas is the one that's willing to ask questions. This is a famous text that we've heard read perhaps at funerals, where Jesus is talking about his father's house. "In my father's house, there are many rooms, and I go before you to prepare a place for you." And it's sort of this weird metaphorical speech that he's using to try and talk about what happens after death. And he's like, "And you know the place where I'm going." And Thomas basically says, "No, we don't." And Thomas explains that the disciples not only don't understand where Jesus is going, but if they're being asked to follow him, that he asks the obvious question, right, that no one else was courageous enough to ask. He says, "How can we know the way if we really don't get exactly where it is that you're going in the first place?" I love Thomas. I kind of find the guy courageous and not full of doubt. Then we get to today's reading, the third time that he shows up in the gospel. When Jesus first appears to the disciples, it says the disciples are up in this upper room and they're locked away for fear of the religious leaders coming after them, right? I mean, they've just put Jesus on the cross and they're scared. But strangely enough, Thomas is not there with them. And I like to think it's because he was more courageous than them. He wasn't as afraid, and so he didn't lock himself in the other room. Realize, we don't know why he wasn't there. We just know that he wasn't there. So the disciples all see the risen Jesus, and they start telling him about it. Hey, we've seen Jesus. And Thomas says, you know what, guys? Unless I see the places on his skin where the nails pierced, and unless I really get to kind of put my hand in his, I need to touch it. If I don't get to do those things, I'm not going to believe it's him. So then it's a week later. And Thomas gets his wish. Jesus visits the disciples again behind locked doors. I love it. He just sort of like magically appears there. It's cool. And this time Thomas is there. And Jesus, I love it. They're all freaked out. They must have been, because Jesus keeps saying over and over, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So I can only imagine they're all like flipping out. So again, he says, peace be with you. And then he makes a beeline for Thomas, because he knows exactly what he needs. He's like, go ahead. See and touch my wounds. Do not doubt, our Bible reads, but believe. Only that's a really bad English translation for the Greek word that sits there, doubt. That's not actually what the word means. You see, Thomas isn't doubting. It's better phrased that he's experiencing unbelief. Doubting would mean that he's calling into question the truth of something, that he's lacking somehow confidence in the resurrection, that he's declaring this thing to be unlikely. The reality is he's not judging anything. He just hasn't arrived at belief yet. And I don't know about you, but resurrection isn't something that happens every day. And so I frankly cannot blame him. I think he's less of a skeptic and more of one who's just seeking more information. And I think that's a good thing. One of my seminary professors said that Thomas was the first theologian. Theology is kind of that figuring out the language of God and how we can make sense of this mysterious God and our experience of that. That Thomas was the first theologian. He was the one who was courageous enough to dig in and ask the questions about how God works. He really wanted to experience Jesus, to engage this reality of resurrection personally, and I love that. This is not him questioning the faith of his friends. This is someone who's willing to engage something that he doesn't understand. And here's the thing. I think Thomas may just be the example that we need for our churches and even for our faith to have a future. I mean, think about it. For too long, there's been this weird assumption that if you go to a particular church or participate in a particular community, it's because y'all believe in the same way. And when internally you're thinking, I don't agree with that, or I kind of have questions about that, you don't say anything because you assume that everybody else is on the same page, right? We've been encouraged to not ask questions. I mean, many of you may have grown up in a faith culture where you actually were discouraged from asking questions. I have heard countless stories of people saying that they got in trouble in confirmation class because they asked too many dang questions. Well, here's the thing. I think if you want the conversation around the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue, you need to make room for questions. Are you someone who fears that you have too many questions to identify with Jesus or the church? I would argue the truth is, your voice is essential to who we are becoming. Your questions are the Spirit's movement among us, making us a better people. So my question is, how do we create a culture that invites this kind of engagement? I know that churches are struggling to figure this out, and frankly, my fear is often failing. because of our long-standing relationship with traditions. And there's ways to bring that tradition forward, but we've got to be agile. We've got to be kind of creative with it. I believe that Holden Village has the capacity for deep engagement in things like this that really matter around faith. It's a place that we can ask without fear, who is Jesus in our lives today and why does he matter? Because I think we need to hear each other's thoughts on this. What does it mean to be a people of faith living in the wilderness? What does it look like to engage faith on any level? I'm tired of all the assumptions that get made in the name of faith, like we all agree. And whether you live here at Holden Village full time or whether you are part of our larger Holden family, and even if today's your first day here, you're part of the family. Whether you're part of the family, whatever, I think we need more people like Thomas. And I want to encourage you, if you've got those inner questions and inner wrestlings, please let's bring them out to the open air, because I believe the Holy Spirit is hungry for us to be doing precisely that, to be asking the hard questions. How we've been church in the past, I believe, no longer reveals the gospel to our current culture. And I don't profess to have any easy solutions. Please hear that for how we're going to move forward differently. But I can tell you that I think that's where the fun comes in. Because I believe this is a cool opportunity for us to let God's creative spirit start moving around, and we can try some stuff. And even when we fail, even when it gets messy, it doesn't matter. We have to keep trying things because we have no idea what experiment's going to work. And how many of them are going to suddenly just work beautifully alongside each other when we had no idea. I do believe that we are headed to a place of real conversation as people of faith, as people of the planet, right? I believe that we are in a place where we have to welcome questions. I think this is what we're all waking up to, that we need to find ways to open ourselves to disagreement, right? Because if we start talking, we're going to figure out we disagree with each other. But we have to create spaces where that can happen so that we can kind of approach that difference with curiosity and wonder, as we like to say. How can you turn that judgment to wonder? We've been doing a lot of community conversation here at Holden. But the truth is, most of us don't have faith figured out. We don't have life even figured out. And growth will only happen when we can talk to each other. Author Dwight Shiley believes that the central challenge facing churches today is rediscovering who they are. And honestly, I think that's precisely the work that is ahead of us as Holden Village. It's the work that we need to be doing right now, figuring out, rediscovering who we are. Community, whether Christian or otherwise, cannot be assumed, Shiley says. It must be cultivated intentionally. For too long, communities have just said, live and let live. You believe what you want to believe over there, and I'll stay over here where it's safe and believe that I want to believe. And then we don't have to bump into each other and disagree and get uncomfortable. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but that doesn't really work so well, right? It doesn't work. We have to talk about stuff that matters. Because, you know, even if you might offend someone, society won't function if we keep avoiding important conversation. You can't understand people with different life experiences without engaging in relationship. And to do this, we're going to need to dig deep. We will need the courage of Thomas. We will need his willingness to ask the necessary and perhaps embarrassing questions. Maybe it was for him, maybe it wasn't. And if the person of Jesus holds any meaning for us at all, we have to figure out how to dig in and start asking some questions, to actually start poking around in his wounds and figuring out what's what, right? Shiley says that to be a faith community, we need to, you know, a faith community that's going to be open and vibrant, right? That we need to have this disposition of learning, like we're willing to kind of engage and be vulnerable and even be daring enough to be creative and experiment. So how do we get there? I'm hoping that's what this summer's conversations are going to be about. And I love that Chuck and Peg, our directors, have been pretty pretty insistent about how we shape our summer's direction, which is the unity of love. They've been very careful to say this is not a theme. It's not a big banner that we're all going to jump underneath and hold hands and sing Kumbaya because we all agree with each other. It's not a theme that we all nod to. It is a conversation. It is a mutual disposition towards raising new ideas that can differ from one another, and that is a good thing. I love Courageous Thomas's story. And I love that it always shows up the week after Easter. Many of you may know that there's sort of a three-year cycle in the church for which Gospels. One year we kind of focus on Mark, and 1 year on Luke, and 1 year on Matthew. But always, the Sunday after Easter, regardless of what year you're in, you get this story from the Gospel of John about Thomas being like, what's the deal, right? I love that. Because the reality is that resurrection changed everything. And in a cultural shift like that, communities have to be brave. And you got to be willing to ask the tough questions. So my prayer is, may we ask questions that open us to one another and to God. May we decidedly act out of love and trust for one another. Because it's the only way that we're going to find unity amidst the dynamic and beautiful differences that we bring to each other. So may the Spirit guide and the Christ bless our efforts. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of the day is Now the Green Blade Rises, one of my favorite little Eastern hymns. It's hymn number 379, and I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable. We continue with the prayers that are found on page 21. It's appendix 3. It'll be entitled Watch, O Lord. Please pray with me as we sing together.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Time.
Shield your joyous ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. With your angels and saints, charge over all who sleep. Hold your grieving ones in your love, Lord. Raise your fallen ones in your love, Lord. Mend your broken ones in your love, O Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. In your angels and saints, charge over all who sleep. Guard your little ones in your love, Lord. Guide your searching ones in your love, Lord. Grant us all your peace in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep.
Most holy God, we commend all for whom we pray, our prayers both sung aloud and sung in the quietness of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you all. I invite you to get up and share a word of peace with one another. A note, I know that Holden leans towards hugging. I pray that you do not assume that, because somebody might not be feeling up to it tonight, even if they hugged last week, or they might be feeling under the weather. So wait for somebody to do this before you grab them, and they may just want to smile. But peace be with you. Share some peace. Thank you.
We continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. 100% of our offerings go towards those who are struggling to rebuild their lives after Cyclone Idai. So know that all the funds collected here this day. And if you didn't bring money with you, that's okay. I know we tend not to carry money with us at Holden. But you can get it to me or David, our accountant, and we'll make sure it goes to the folks who need it. Thank you. Our service continues with the hymn on page 9. Let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. We continue with the Great Thanksgiving, which is found on page 10, I believe. Is that right? All right. And as you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good. Everywhere and always to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son Jesus Christ. Above all, we delight to praise you for the resurrection of our Lord, the true Passover Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, who by his
life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all of the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and seas and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
There it is. God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell and with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering upon this bread, within this cup, and among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit in your church and without end. The table by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us in the version that is most comfortable to you. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. And the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all has been prepared. I invite you to be seated, and I'll just give you a little bit more instructions as our communion helpers come forward. We also want that there be no dietary barriers between you and what Jesus is offering here. So there will be multiple folks. First will be a small container that has gluten-free wafers. Then I will have the bread. And then next to me will be the common cup that you can either drink directly from, or you can take your piece of bread and dip in it. Otherwise, if you prefer to have wine or juice from a cup, there's a basket of cups here behind me. The first person will have wine, and the second person will have juice. And then after you finish drinking, there's an empty basket here to put your empty cup. So again, please know that you are invited to participate. If you'd like to come forward but aren't comfortable communing, I would love to offer you a blessing. So you can come forward with your arms closed, or just kind of keep them at your sides and grin at me, and I would be honored to give you a blessing. So all has been prepared. Please come forward as you feel comfortable.
body of Christ given for you.
Sing 496, 496.
Thank you.
192492.
Now may the fullness of Jesus' life and presence bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We turn to page 16 for our closing song. Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace. God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve, especially during work week. Thanks be to God. We're grateful for your presence here. Have a good night. Amen.